Good morning. Open to Philippians 2. We're going to be looking at 5 through 9. This morning's exhortation and our confession to God is on humility. Let's now look at the Word of God on this subject. Philippians 2, 5 through 9. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Amen. Any consideration of humility for the Christian has got to start and end with the example of Christ. That is our foundation of why a Christian would ever be humble. For we know that Christ was sinless, and then we also get these beautiful pictures of Christ, don't we? Of his joy with the little children. Maybe you think of the wedding at Cana and see his kindness. Maybe you remember his compassion with Mary when Lazarus died. But above all these things, one of the most incredible attributes of Christ is his humility. Humility, that the Son of God was put into a man's body, that this God was made flesh. The Creator took on the humble, poor form of his creation. And so this, as we read, making himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant and coming in the likeness of men, above all else, Christ was humble. He personified humility, and his life proclaimed it. So in Christ, and in his example to us, in his life, his whole life shouts humility. And this is why this chapter in Philippians 2 begins and says, above all else, be humble, be unified, lower yourself to esteem others better than you. Christ taking on flesh is our example. It's the lowest of his humiliation on earth. It's the most incredible display of humility there could ever be. Taking the form of a servant and coming. And this should humble us. This should humble us. So look to Christ. Think much on Christ. This is our foundation for humility. Now, humility is sometimes called the first grace. You may hear that. Or even the first law of ministry. And it's because of its tremendous value to the Christian, and because there is really no effective ministry without humility. Can you experience the grace of God without humility? For God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Now, speaking of ministry for a minute, you know, when he arrived on the scene, John the Baptist was the most popular preacher in centuries. There hadn't been a prophet in 400 years. And so he drew these massive crowds. He was the most powerful messenger with the greatest message ever heard. The Messiah has come. So what did John the Baptist do? Well, he wore camel's hair and a leather belt. He ate locusts and honey. But the most incredible lesson that John taught us was how important it was that he fade away and Christ become everything. He must increase and I must decrease. See, this is the Christian's walk. More of Jesus, less of us. We must have faith to take on this right view of humility, so that humility, and even the process of being humbled, which is very hard, is not something to fear, but it's actually something to welcome. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Be humbled under God's mighty hand that he may lift you up. I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, sometimes you might face incredible trials in your life, and you might ask, what is God doing? Could it be he's humbling you? Could it be by his grace and love upon you, he's bringing you low, that he may increase and you may decrease? In our passage today, you can see the wording in verse 9, the word therefore. Since Christ was humbled, God raised him up and highly exalted him. We must be low to be lifted up by God. Now, our interactions with one another may sometimes reveal our own sin, and indeed, this is a means by which God brings us lower and even further into conformity with Christ. Thomas Watson explained it this way. Listen, let a child of God look at his face every morning in the glass of God's word and see his sinful spots. This will make him walk humbly all the day after. God cannot endure to see his children grow proud. He suffers them to fall into sin, as he did Peter, that their plumes may fall and that they may learn to go on lower ground. It's, in fact, this lowliness that brings in unity, as we see in Ephesians 4, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering and bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace. See, humility is the gateway to unity. Why? Because it's when we've set ourselves down and lifted Christ up, tossed our agenda aside, tossed the me mentality out the window, that now there's no competition. There's no fighting. There's no prizes. It's all Christ. He's all that's left. Thus, we can now be of one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. Indeed, this humility ushers in unity. And so we're told in the Word we're to be clothed with humility, as it was the very essence of Christ's earthly life. Because, brother and sister, we have nothing to be proud of, do we? We have nothing to claim credit for. But sometimes we get these tiny thoughts running through our head like that somehow we deserve the glory for this or that. But the consequences of that are grave. We fall into the snare of the devil and we're put in danger of being puffed up with pride. So do not be proud. Do not think highly of yourself. As Romans 12 says, do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. May we not be proud of anything we've done. But as Paul said, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me. And please, I think a particular caution for us, and particularly perhaps for us elders, but for all of us, may we not be prideful over our doctrines. Amen? Because you know, pride over your doctrines, all it does is distance you from a brother or sister. It's all it does. And that should humble us. So take up the mind of Christ. Consider that you could be wrong. And submit to one another and find unity. See, we're always called to walk in unity. There's never a special circumstance or time where you're allowed to be proud. Right? Even when you have to go to your brother in sin, what does the word say? In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. For let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. But as we look upon Christ, the one thing that should propel us more and more and drive our humility is the conviction of our sin. For our sin, which Christ died for, should break us, lower us, and drive us into seeing the saving grace above all of our good works. This is why God loves humility, because he sent his Son that we may have communion with him. A broken and contrite spirit God does not despise. He leads the humble in what is right. He teaches the humble in his way. God loves humility because it's there that we're in a position now to commune with him, to worship him. And faced with our sin in a relationship with a holy God, it humbles us. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Well, let me end today with quick points of application. As we enter our time of confession, seek to be humble in God by, number one, continually reflecting on the cross of Christ. Testify and proclaim that even when we were dead in our sins, he made us alive with Christ. Hold very loosely the things of this world, the youthful lusts, the contentions, the arguments, the disputes, your doctrinal surety, and instead hold tight the cross of Christ. Number two, remember what he's done for you and continually reflect on his promises. That because of nothing you've done, by God's unmerited favor, he has raised you to sit up in the heavenly places with Christ. Amazing. He's called you a special people, a royal priesthood, one who has obtained mercy. The Lord hears your prayers. The Lord is with you wherever you go. Be humbled by these. And number three, when God humbles you, in faith, welcome it. Embrace it. Be brought low by it, that you may be strong in Christ and that he may lift you up. Now, as we enter our time of confession, may we remember Christ, our example, who made himself of no reputation. Do you make yourself of reputation? That he took the form of a bondservant. Are you a servant? Coming in the likeness of men and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Let us confess our pride now. We all have experienced this temptation and perhaps sin. And may we see the reality of it and be humbled, welcoming the lowly state that our lives may reflect him who is raised up. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you that you have given us this first grace of humility. Oh, Lord, we pray now and petition you, God, that you would forgive us of our sins, of stepping into pride, even in our thoughts and our actions, and putting ourselves first. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would break our heart over this, and that we would recognize the example of lowliness that Christ has put before us, and that he shouts to us with his entire life. Oh, Lord, we ask that you would make us usable vessels for your kingdom, for your work, for the generations of faithfulness that will follow. And Lord, I pray that in that is where the victory comes in Christ. That is where your glory shines like never before. For when we are weak, we are strong in Christ. We take a moment now, Lord, to confess this sin to you individually.